Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Hey, Jonah, how are you doing? We are here today for you. Are you running away from ministry? Do you think your ministry is a pulpit day somewhere? And you are making all the excuses in the world why the Lord cannot use you? Well, today we are here for you. Hey, put the remote down. Don't change the dial. We are here to have a very frank conversation on being called into ministry, like what it looks like. Letitia, let's just go there.
I think you've said something really important, that it's not a pulpit. Ministry is not a pulpit. But what would you call ministry if you could give a definition of what it is to minister?
I'll put it like this, right? It's like business, right? People think having a business is buying the laptop, especially in Africa, when you're like, okay, do you have a business? Yes, I'm going to start a business. I'll buy a laptop, an office. And then we think the laptop and the office is a business. No, that is rent that you're going to have to pay month end.
Yeah.
And a laptop is just a means to an end, okay? A business is the people that come through. If you don't have a clientele, if you don't have a service that you're offering, you don't own a business. Maybe you have debt, or maybe you owe someone rent money, but the same goes for ministry. Ministry is not a pulpit. Mm-hmm. Ministry does not happen when you've got a crowd in front of you.
Yeah.
Ministry is that thing that God's put inside of you that is bubbling inside, that wants to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are on a pulpit or no one is seeing you underground. I mean, I was driving yesterday and there was a lady with a baby. Like, we're coming from the doctors with the children, and we saw her walking, and that thing just happened. Like, we stopped and said, hey, ma'am, can we take you wherever you are going? You know, and we live in South Africa. It's not so safe. I had to tell her, look at the children. We won't kidnap you with the children in the car, you know. But I'm just saying that ministry and that love or passion that God puts on us individually does not wait for a crowd. It's just something in you that highlights certain things. Maybe you notice people suffering and you just have to help. Maybe you just say the things that console people and you wonder, oh, I have a friend of ours who's currently in a different country. I hope she sees this. And we've been telling her, she's called, and especially my wife's really been on a case. And she messaged us to say someone came to visit her in that country, and it turned out to be a counseling session, you know? And that's just what happens to her. She'll go to the bank, and the banker starts, you know, just talking and letting out things. That is ministry. For me, it's a calling. It's almost like fish in water. You know, you don't have to force it. You don't have to be paid for it. But it completes you. It's God operating through you in a way that is, can I say, normal in inverted commas to you? Because we don't tend to think our gifts are something great. Maybe you're just good with cars. Or you're good with cameras. You know, we're speaking with this couple. It's a couple who we know very well. They're recording us right now, but I won't mention their names. I never mention their names because, you know, we're not exposing them. But we're just saying that they were telling us their story on how they got into the film industry. And you could tell that it's just God who orchestrated the whole thing. So, and you'll find yourself in a position, it's almost like right place, right time. You want to run. You don't think this is you. Or you go for a job interview out there in Pretoria. doesn't work out. You come back to East London, and the thing that God actually wanted you to do is waiting for you right there.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing about ministry is to do the thing that God wanted you to do. Do you know that you can minister without speaking? Just by doing the physical thing that God wants you to do, delivers a message to someone in a way that is palatable for their soul, that's palatable for their spirit. Sometimes you don't know what's bubbling inside of you until someone performs an act, and that act speaks to you specifically. So my husband had mentioned just now that we live in South Africa, and there's been an incredible testimony recently of how someone who was in a completely different faith, I would go as far as saying the opposite faith to what we are, was at a radio station, and he knew that this particular person in the radio station was Christian. She did not say not one word. When he was leaving, she hugged him. And according to his testimony, when she hugged him, he felt a love of God that he had never, in fact, he used it as a teachable moment for us in the faith to say, we know what's wrong as Christians, but we do not administer the love of God to the world. And somehow this woman's hug messaged something to him so powerful that he came back to the faith. Now, when I say he was a part of the opposite faith, he was the top of that church in our country. And just a hug from somebody who had the Spirit of God within them ministered to him. You know, when scripture speaks about how the Lord is the one that convicts you, for those of us who are in more conventional ministry of speaking the word, etc., we often get so mind-boggled by what can I say to bring this person to the Lord? What can I do to bring this person to the Lord? Mm-hmm. But the truth is that it's God who convicts. You just have to be where you need to be at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like with Moses, Moses had the presence of God on him, on his face. That's what scripture speaks about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you walk with God so much, and you may not even be aware of it, that he will just tell you, go and position yourself somewhere. And just because you are there, you change the atmosphere. Because in the presence of God, there is love, there is joy, there is peace. And suddenly, those people begin to feel that shalom that they're looking for in their lives, just because you're where you're supposed to be. And so that is ministry. To minister unto others is to do as God is calling you to do in that space, in that moment. So being a mother can be ministry because there's a specific way that God has called you to run your home. Mm. Being a husband, does scripture not say, what is your first ministry?
Your home.
Your home. Your home is your first ministry. And so you can be sitting there thinking, oh, the pulpit, pastor, crowd. Meanwhile, the ministry within your own home is failing because we have an erroneous idea of what ministry actually is. When you follow in the steps, the footsteps, the leading of the Holy Spirit, as scripture says, you will hear a voice saying, this is the way, and therefore walk in it. There is no way that somebody will not be ministered to when you are walking according to the Holy Spirit. We've heard so often, sometimes you are the only Jesus that someone will ever get to meet. There was a time when that quote was really popular and it was really big. But how can you be the only Jesus they ever meet if you're not positioned where you should be positioned? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a colleague watching you not take a bribe.
That's true.
You do not have to say a word. Mm-hmm. To be in ministry is to be in the purpose for which God has called you. Mm-hmm. And I typically see that in scripture, especially the forefathers, they were not fishing for men. They were just living. They were living. And because of how they were living, their stories were worthy of being put in stone, of being cut in stone. Abraham was not ministering to a big fat church.
Yes.
He is the father of the nations. But all he did was position himself, positioned himself in a manner in which God could use him. And that has ministered to generations, billions of people after his existence simply because he was in purpose. He was doing what God told him to do. These brave men and women of God who have ministered unto us were not self-righteously seeking for souls. They were not even trying to portray to others something that they are not. And for those of us who are on the pulpit, that can become a trap because we get so caught up in portraying God, we're not living God. But the masters of the faith from whom we learn were simply living the gospel. So this is a conviction, even for the men and women of God who are on pulpits. Remember, your greatest ministry to those that God has brought to you will be how you walk out your salvation. It will not be the Sermon on the Mount that makes you who you are, but it will be walking through the valleys and walking through, you know, Moses, how he walked with his people. That's the ministry. Yes. It's not the words that you say, but it's the actions that you take. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit that allows you to be where you need to be to deliver a word. So previous episodes, we talked about the conventional workspaces we thought we would be in versus where we are. But do you know that God can use you as a lawyer? God can use you as a psychologist. God can use you as a doctor. I know doctors who feel called to pray for certain illnesses. They will hear God say, this one, pray. They will have patients who are comatose and medicine has failed. And these doctors will give us testimonies to say, the Lord told me to pray for this person. And the person actually woke up from their coma. And so it's not that you must be on a pulpit. I would even go as far as saying, you and I were not called to minister in law or minister in...
to go into this.
Yes, please.
When I got saved and God told me ministry, what I saw was a pulpit. I'm going to be a pastor. There's going to be a church. And then I'll never forget when he first said radio. I was saying, what are we going to do on radio? Like, where's the church? Where are the people? And then when I got a radio, or just before that, he said, rap music. And I thought, what? Rap? I mean, no. That's the devil's music, you know? And to tell you the truth, when I accepted, I remember, look, I couldn't even just accept that. Like, how will God use me in music? I'll never forget going home, and I was listening to a lot of sermons that time. The Lord made me press till I think there was maybe 100 or so teachings in there. I'll never forget. It was in the 80s. He told me, stop. And when I stopped, that pastor was speaking about the power of music and how it can be a ministry. Why? Because you literally put a message in the song that the person listens to over and over. It's a meditation. And they begin to think like it, you know? So I, coming into ministry and having that idea, and then the Lord saying, nope. We're going to use the music. We're going to use the unconventional, sinful thing you think is sinful. And my wife, I want to say to you, that opened so many doors.
Yeah.
We went into schools, different countries, because it was a medium. People could relate to. The message was received. And then when you were speaking about professions, there's one of my sister's... Lindy, who's in the Air Force, who we met during that time, where she was also going in, and the Lord told her she is going to reach out to the country's military. So she called us. She said, look, we're going to do a concert there. And I mean, it was unconventional. On the one hand, you have someone in the military. On the other hand, you have artists. And doors began to open. Why? Because God can use your gift. When scripture says that if you take that gift and you are faithful with it, that gift will take you before kings and queens. I'll never forget literally being in Lesotho, you know, we went to perform the same music And we were in like, it was like, I think their parliament or something. And we're sitting at the back and someone literally said, oh, where are you sitting? That's actually where the king and Ming sit. And we're just like, we actually did a photo shoot there, you know? Just to say that if you are faithful with the gift, God will take you where he needs to take you.
Mm-hmm. And it will speak to who it needs to speak to, wherever you're going. If we look at...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Didn't God tell you that your hair would be ministry?
are we really going there?
Are we going there today?
Well, now that we're here. Well, the interesting thing is, he said two things about my hair. He talked about the hair, and then he talked about the covering when I minister. That happened not so long ago. Mm. Ironically, when it started happening, where the Lord said, when you're ministering, now you, specifically you, must cover your hair. I didn't know why, and I was quite creeped out by it because I consider myself, you know, young and stylish. And so he's saying you need to cover your hair henceforth when you minister. And I'm not seeing anyone else do it. I know I don't have to do it. It's not a legalistic thing, but I'm feeling it for me. And so just in obedience, I do it. And I happen to be at this conference. And this lady comes up to me afterwards and she says to me, oh my gosh, you have just convicted me. And I'm thinking, for what? And she says, no, I've been hearing the Lord say I need to cover my head for months. But because no one is doing it, I'm thinking I'm going to look strange. Mm-hmm. And so seeing you preaching with your head covered, I knew God was talking to me that I need to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you why God's asking different people to do this thing.
I want to ask another question.
Yes, go for it.
Now, at the same time, you're in business.
Yeah.
Your business is hair.
Yeah.
But when the Lord spoke to you about hair, again, he didn't just say, go start a hair business.
Yeah.
What was the calling behind that? Because people will think you just run a hair business.
Yes, yes.
Not knowing that it's actually a ministry again where God called you and said, I want you to restore
my children.
My children.
And their image of themselves, and for everybody to know that I've made you beautiful, I've made you whole, I've made you perfect. Because there's been so much distortion there. So that's why I said it's two things.
Yes.
It's the covering and the not covering. So I'm somewhere in the middle. And everywhere I go, it ministers to people. He knows what my hair underneath does. Wherever we go, people are like, oh my goodness, is that your hair? Can I get that? Yes, you can. God made you that way. Just need to learn how to,
you know. So would you have thought that your hair would be a means to ministry?
Absolutely not. 100% not. And I think that's why it's important, even when we said in the beginning, you don't need words to minister.
Yes.
You need actions and you need obedience. Because you have no idea how what you are doing is ministering to. You don't know what God has laid upon the hearts of the people who need to see you in that space, with your hair, without your hair, with the red coat, without the red coat. There's something that God knows is going to unlock in the person outside of you. The sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to know, okay, here I can have it, here I can't have it. That balance is interesting, especially since you speak of the hair. That balance has been so intense for me to know, okay, you must cover, you must not cover. Every single time I listen, someone comes to me and says, this has ministered to me. And it's two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
I quickly want to touch on Job 42, verse 9. In Job 42, verse 9 is where we see him physically ministering to his friends. And then scripture says, after he ministered to them, the Lord lifted the affliction. But I want to go a step further to say, Job had ministered to his friends by how he walked out his affliction. That could have just been the ribbon on the bow on what they had seen. Because he was going against them. He was telling them, no, but the God that I know. Oh, no, I will not curse God. No, I will. So even when he was down, there was a way that he walked out his salvation. There is no way they were not taught by what he was doing. No way that they were not taught by his humility and his walk with God. So even though he ministered in word, I believe that the word ministry that he gave them towards the end was just the ribbon on the gift that was the privilege for them to watch him walk out his affliction. I'm sure they left there with sound example and doctrine on how one walks with the Lord, the level of faith, the level of trust. And so even as we walk and with the people,
consistency during affliction.
Exactly, the consistency. I
mean, if you think of it, some of us, just your car breaks down. And oh, the Lord is in trouble, you know?
That is so funny.
It's true. Yeah, that's true. We go through smaller things. Yes. And you're already feeling like God is not there.
Yes,
but Job had his friends literally say, just curse God and die.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in the times that came when he was restored, they having been there.
Oh, wow.
We read it and we think, wow.
What? But they watched him walk through it. And so today we want to speak to the carpenters, the kings, the queens, the judges, the army leaders, the mothers, the husbands, the wives, the women with the issue of blood. I mean, we often say this on Surviving Life, but can we make these people human?
Mm.
Okay, Deborah was a judge. She had a formal work thing to do.
Mm.
But she was doing it with such obedience, it worshipped and it glorified the Lord. Mm. Even the woman with the issue of blood that I just mentioned, do you know how much she ministered to the people in the crowd by doing what she did? That act taught them that your faith will set you free. Mm. And so it's important to know that whether you're a carpenter or you're a tailor or you're where you are, God put you there. He set the boundaries around your life before you came into this earth. And he knew as a tailor, you are going to transform people with your tailoring. I mean, it's a story in the Bible where people came and spoke for the tailor because of the dresses that she would make for the people. Do not think that you have to look a certain way or have a certain job or that you have to leave your job to do ministry. That's a very important one. Some people have to leave, but just because God is calling you to do ministry does not mean you have to leave where you are. God can just be calling you to align with him where you are and watch him change your work experience. Watch him change your family experience. Watch him change your business experience, because he can use your business to minister and you've never put up a scripture on any one of your things.
I really want us, as we close, to speak to politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying the current politicians, the young
future.
Young politicians now, where you are being called, don't say politics is for.
Mm-mm.
And then give it over to the enemy and say, you know, if you have to be wicked to be in politics. God wants light in every area.
Come on now.
Every area of society. Yes. So if you call to politics and maybe your church doesn't understand and your pastor and them don't understand, you go in there and allow God to use you.
Mm.
You could be the next Daniel. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we believe that the Lord will do abundantly and above what you can ever think or imagine.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambillies, you can just type in at the Vambillies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambilly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.